We had Jabari Greer in studio late last week. We've bothered him again. He's joined us in studio. What's up, Jabari? How
hey,
you doing, man?
Good happy to be here. Happy
Thank you.
That be here.
Sounds genuine, and we'll take it. When you look at that New Orleans game yesterday, do you look at that and say, this Saints team is so good, or do you look at it saying, what happened to this Eagles team? How do you go from winning the Super Bowl just to being frauds, basically? What's up with the Eagles?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Because obviously you realize that the Eagles didn't come to play, and once they got down by more than 20 points, it was basically the Saints who just steamrolling over them. But the way that you see this Saints team unrolling, I mean, they're rolling out more and more game after game. They seem more explosive every game. Alvin Kamara is starting to come into his own, and he's becoming a player in which you could see if he continues this trajectory, if he continues to get better, he's going to be in the NFL MVP race pretty soon. Maybe not this, obviously not this year, but maybe in the next couple years. But they have so many tools on their offense. Their defense is finally starting to play. Their defensive line, they're really coming on. But the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing, and people don't understand exactly how hard it is to repeat, not only to repeat, but in the age of free agency, when everybody can go after your best players, it's hard to have a team that even resembles the team that you had for the Super Bowl. So it's a little bit of both.
So who would you claim is the best team in the league right now? Is it the Rams? Is it the Chiefs? Or is it the Saints? Someone else?
Who sticks out to you? I think that I would have to say who's playing the best right now. Because on paper, it's the Rams. You know, on paper, offense, defense, special teams, it's the Rams.
Right.
But we saw that on that given Sunday that the Saints were playing as if they were the best team. So I think the Saints are playing the best right now because not only are they explosive on offense, but they're getting turnovers on defense. And if the Saints have just a top 10 defense, I mean, it's scary for them. So we'll see tonight exactly how. And I think the issue with Kansas City is that they've been rolling really well, but they just haven't played primetime football games. So out of sight, out of mind. They've been really good. But we've seen the Saints on primetime over the last three games. Mm-hmm. So they've been in our face, and we've been kind of forced to kind of reckon with their greatness as of right now. But the Kansas City Chiefs get an opportunity right now in primetime, and I think they're going to show us exactly how good they are.
Just back to the Saints, I find it amazing to watch Drew Brees throw the football. He just has this ability to feather it into the receiver's hands. They're not like laser beams. They go up,
man,
and they
listen.
Just float down. It's amazing how accurate in those throws, the way they just fall in the hands of the receivers.
Oh, my goodness, man. You speaking truth to power right there. When I tell you, when I first signed with the Saints and we were in preseason practice in training camp, we're doing one-on-one drills. I'm covering Devery Henderson. He's a receiver out of LSU. He runs an out route. I break on it, and I'm just waiting for the ball to come. Drew throws it, and it looks like it's going to go out of bounds. So I just stop running. Yeah. I turn my head around. I hear the crowd going crazy. He puts the ball right over Devery's shoulder in a place that, I mean, it looked as if Tiger Woods was hitting a chip shot from 75 yards out, man.
It just looks different than like a guy like Brett Favre or even Tom Brady,
the
where they're throwing laser beams.
When you see a guy that can put the ball on the money right there, you realize how talented these quarterbacks are, because it's like an optical illusion. It really is.
Jabari Greer in studio. Rams-Chiefs tonight, the Monday Nighter. The Bears with a big win last night. And I remember coming in here doing the show after that draft a couple of years ago where they had the third pick and they traded to move up to the second pick to take Trubisky. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, he was going to be there.
Crazy?
He was going to be there at three, right? And I still kind of think he was going to be there at three. But now you watch him play and you realize why they said, you know what, we have to have him. Like, this kid looks really good, man. He's mobile. He can move. He's got an arm. They've tailored that offense to him. All of a sudden, that's a big win over Minnie last night. They're in the driver's seat in the NFC North.
I love the way the Chicago's playing. And in particular, I love the way the Mitchell Trubisky is playing. I have a problem saying his name with my southern slang. Mitchell Trubisky. So that guy, I love the way that he's progressing as a player. You see, last year, he had some issues standing in the pocket. He had some issues. They had issues protecting him. But Ryan Pace, the general manager, was the head of professional scouting at New Orleans, and he was one of the big reasons why they brought me in there, why they brought a lot of talent in there. And he has a great eye for talent. He gets Trubisky. He trades for Khalil Mack, and now you see what they saw in Mitchell Trubisky, a guy that not only can run a football. I mean, he's literally he's like a running back mm-hmm. when he runs a football. But the way he's throwing that deep ball is really impressive. He is throwing the ball down the field, and it's dropping on a dime to these receivers. They finally got him some help around the edge with some of these receivers. And you see Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard being the force in the backfield that they are. But when you get a quarterback, when you spend that much money on a quarterback, you basically mortgage your future. You know, we've seen time in and time out that not work out, right? We've seen that flop, and we've seen general managers come and go. But when that finally works, and you have a storied organization like the Chicago Bears that has such a great fan base that really wants somebody to do something on the field, and they're now they have the pieces in place. I think they not only are the best team in the NFC North, but if they actually get some home games for the playoffs, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like seeing the Bears be relevant again. They're such a storied franchise, and they've been garbage for so long.
It's No, it's so true. You go to Chicago, like they love the Cubs, they love the Blackhawks, they love the Bulls. That is a Bears town.
It is.
It's Bears it is. All the time. You know, it's like the Leafs here in many ways. Yeah. But speaking of quarterbacks and protection, I saw Adam Schefter tweet this out earlier this morning. Andrew Luck has not been sacked once in his last five starts. Mm. Like, you talk about, obviously, that was the priority. They drafted that Quentin Nelson kid who's a beast out of Notre Dame. His audio is hilarious online. But Luck didn't play a game last year. He's coming off the shoulder surgery. There was a time there we wondered if he was ever going to play again. He's playing. He's playing good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're good enough to catch Houston, who have won seven in a row. That team's on fire. But the fact that this guy has not been sacked in five games, like, you got to give credit to that coaching staff and the O-line, clearly.
Yeah, Frank Reich, he was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. And they do a lot of quick throws to get the ball out of his hand. But, I mean, just the story behind what Andrew Luck is doing this year and what he overcame last year. Remember, Jim Irsay came out and said he thinks his quarterback is done. You know, he thinks that his quarterback has shoulder issues.
Well, wasn't there a story last year? Who's the offensive coordinator in New England? They got the word that
McDaniels. Yeah,
they got word that Luck is not in good shape. So he said, maybe I'm not going to take the job.
Yeah, that was the conspiracy. I don't even think it was a conspiracy theory. Like, he was hiring his staff,
they
he
had
his
a presser
office
ready.
Set up. Yeah, and he pulled the shoot quickly.
But I think the testament of a man is being able to withstand all that adversity, understanding the outside, the white noise that's surrounding you, and having the season that he's having, even coming from the deficit that they've come from earlier in the season. This is the mark of a great quarterback. This is the mark of somebody who can weather that storm, who doesn't, you know, give in to the ebb and flow of the season. And particularly how he's playing, when he's standing in the pocket, he's delivering that ball on the money. And when you have T.Y. Hilton, a guy that's a deep threat, and you have a young player in Marlon Mack that can break a big run anytime he touches the football, you have pieces in place. Now, the Indianapolis Colts, they're not a sexy football team. You know, you don't talk about them every Sunday. But the way that they are continuously taking on the big boys, they beat the Tennessee Titans, who have been playing really well over the last couple weeks. But Andrew Luck, man, to weather that adversity, as a player, you just sit back and admire that. It's like, man, because you know how hard he had to work to get to where he is.
That's a lot of rehab.
Yeah.
And they're 5-5. They're playing well.
This Nathan Peterman, I read that he got a workout with Detroit.
Yeah, like, they snuck him in Detroit.
Does he get it?
Really, he says.
What is Patricia doing in Detroit? Like, what are you doing?
Know.
Why is he's getting into fights with the media? He's working
making
out.
Making him practice Nathan outside.
Peterman? I feel bad about I feel bad for Stafford, man. Stafford is, he was always like a gunslinger, a guy who could put the ball on the money, a guy who have he was potentially going to be a future superstar. But they've squandered that opportunity with the talent around him. He looked his best when he had Calvin Johnson. He could throw the football up. But when you don't have a running back, when you don't have a second receiver, they get rid of Golden Tate. Like, what are you doing for Matt Stafford? They're just throwing away that potential.
What's the Nabil update? What's he saying?
Nabil's in the house. He's doing the 6 p.m. Sports Center.
Yeah, that's my man. So we did We did 4:30 CTV yesterday, man, which was awesome. Nabil, you know, he makes me step up my suit game, man, because he comes so clean.
Yeah.
That is one thing about that brother.
I saw him
cool under pressure.
I think he's got the khakis.
Clean.
Yeah, he dresses.
I think the khakis are overrated.
He's lean, though. He's got the real fit.
Why are you hating on him, man? Come on. What is it?
Because he just flip-flops for one guy, like a superstar shows up, and he just befriends them. And
yeah, watch your back.
He was a friend of the show for a while, but he doesn't come around anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He loved when O was first.
If he gets
on the
like
scene.
Switched up to baseball, he'll have like a baseball friend, and you'll be like, he'll never talk to you.
Yeah, you're out, man.
Send him Christmas cards.
That's right.
I guess I'm staying his good graces. That's my guy.
He'll leave you in his dust real quick. All right, Jabari, we'll catch you tonight. Thanks for popping in studio.
Thanks, fellas.
We always appreciate it. There's longtime NFLer, our TSN NFL analyst, Jabari Greer, in studio.